Some people are prolific letter writers. Is that you? Do you like to write letters? Maybe when you were younger, did you love to write letters? It seems to be a bit of a dying art for some people. I do remember having a pen pal who lived in England, Birmingham, England, and as a young child, I did write for a little while, but then did lose a bit of the enthusiasm for writing letters. We need to say thank you to God that Paul was a letter writer, because much of the New Testament, it's given that perhaps 13 of the letters of the New Testament were written by Paul, either to congregations or to individuals. He wrote letters. He had a heart for others. Paul actually planted many churches, and they are the churches that he wrote letters to. Philippians is one of those churches. You know, Paul was actually on a missionary journey to go somewhere else. And he's there, and he's with Silas, traveling to another location. And on the way, the Holy Spirit actually says, no, don't go. Don't go to that particular place. So the course of the journey is changed. And on that change of course, one night Paul has a dream. And in his dream, he sees a man in a place called Macedonia who is crying out, come and help us. Come and help us. This wasn't just any ordinary dream. This was God revealing to Paul that that was the place he was to go to. And that's where he lands in Philippi. That's where he plants a church, starting first with a lady that he meets. Then he gets thrown into jail because a lady that was demon-possessed came and he spoke out the word of God. The demons left her and he got into trouble and got thrown in jail. And whilst in jail, that's where the jailer and his family were converted. This is the makeup of the congregation of that particular church. Now, as I said, Paul had a real pastor's heart. So writing letters for him was actually speaking into the life of the congregation, because he couldn't be at every place. He didn't know whether he would get a chance to go back to a particular congregation. But he knew that he just wanted to continually encourage them of what life is like as a Christian. Because it was really tough for the people in those days. Some of us may think it's pretty tough today. But Paul had a pastor's heart. He planted congregations and he wanted to keep speaking into their life. And he speaks into our life too, because we have Bibles. We have the opportunity to read what God revealed to Paul that was inspired by the Holy Spirit that now speaks into our life and challenges us and encourages us as followers of Jesus Christ. Chapter 2 of Philippians, if you have your own Bible and you wish to follow, then I would encourage you to. In these first 11 verses, Paul actually gives us a really clear picture of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. 11 verses, he tells us that we actually share a common life. Yes, you're an individual, but you don't sit here today saying, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior because of anything you have done. It is all about Jesus and what God has done through Jesus for you. So you share the life of God. A few weeks ago, we talked about holiness and how it's God's life in us. Yes, you may be an individual, but when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were united with God. He also talks about the fact that the Christian life is a common shared experience. And whilst we sit in this space today, with however many people around us, we are part of a much larger body of Christ. It's a common experience. People who share one mind, people who stand united in Christ, people who have one vision, sharing the gospel. That's what Paul is saying in these first few verses. Sometimes I think we forget it. Maybe it's just me. Sometimes I get a bit focused on myself. Sometimes I forget who I belong to and whose world I live in and who has plans for my life. Sometimes I forget. But Paul doesn't want this church, this congregation, to forget. So he actually gives them a model, an example of what it means to live one-minded, one vision, sharing the life of Jesus. And he uses, obviously, the life of Jesus. Now you might think, if you read the beginning of this, that there were problems in that church. But all the reading that I've done about Philippians, they say, the commentaries say, that this is one of the happiest letters that Paul actually wrote. He had a real deep joy and love for that congregation. And he wanted to speak life into them so that they could continue to speak the gospel where they lived. It wasn't that he had to correct something. He just said, don't ever lose sight of who you belong to and why you sit in that congregation. And that's the message for us today. May we never forget whose we are, who we belong to. We have a statement that says we want to transform our community with the love of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about the Salvation Army. It's all about Jesus. It has always been about Jesus. Always. What Paul says here in verses 5 to 11, talk about the life of Jesus. And they remind us that Jesus is truly and properly God. But he is also truly and properly man. Jesus is God, and when he came to earth, he was still God, because we read through the Gospels where he performed miracles, where he healed people, where he brought about transformation, where he spoke with authority, not just because he knew everything, but because he was God. As human, He put aside any right to claim his deity, any right to be using his God aspect to his own advantage. He put that aside so that he could become for us what God needed him to be, a servant. Somebody who was obedient to God the Father, who could do only what God could do, die on the cross, take the punishment for our sin. That's what Paul talks about here. Jesus did nothing for his own selfish ambition. It was for you. You sit here today because he said, I will do this for my Father so that these people can be in relationship with my Father. Some people in the world today, winning is absolutely everything. For some people, that comes at a cost of intimidation to others. And we measure success by achievement and position. And maybe we ask the question, can I get what I want out of life? And how soon can I get it? Or how can I get it? For some people, that is how they live. But Paul actually lays it down very clearly here to the congregation and says, don't seek to be served, but to serve. And if you don't know how to do that, look at Jesus, who didn't seek to be served, but came to serve. That's a challenge for us. I think we live in a pretty self-absorbed society. I'm not saying that you do. I'm not saying that you are. I'm just saying that we live in that space, the space of selfies, the space of Facebook, the space of getting what I want for myself. I'm not saying that you do, but that's the reality of where we live. And sometimes that can cloud our mind and cloud our heart, and us Christians can forget whose we are and why we're here. In this particular letter, Paul is actually calling to the Christians in Philippi to get their focus on Jesus. Remember, this is who he is. And this is who God calls us to be at his calls us to be as his people. We cannot think about others if we don't think about who God is and what God has done for us. We cannot treat others well if our relationship with God is not as strong, because somewhere along the line, Jesus is not the one sitting on the throne. We are. So we make life about ourselves. But Paul is encouraging us here that it's about Jesus. It has always been about Jesus. And in Jesus, we see that for him, it was about his Father first, being obedient to what God said to him, but it was for others. the idea of being a servant through history is actually a really bad example in some ways. If you've studied history, then the different levels of class in society meant that servants were really right down here. So I don't know whether sometimes that influences us deciding to or not to be a servant. Because we don't want to be down here. We don't want to be a doormat. We don't want to be walked on. But Jesus came as a servant. He didn't come to be served. He came as a servant. He made a willful decision to obey his Father's call to be a servant. And in serving and being that servant, it led him to a horrific death. But that was all about his Father and his Father's will. Jesus prayed, "Thy will be done." Not my will, thy will be done. Maybe sometimes when we choose to serve others, we think that we really are serving, but we're actually still trying to be in charge, because we decide who we will serve, when we will serve, and how it suits us. And if I go back and I think about Jesus, he didn't choose the when, the how, or whether it suited him or not. He willfully chose to be obedient to his Father. When Jesus calls us to be servants, he actually calls us to give up the throne and to willfully choose to serve whoever, whenever, however. Today, as we think about serving others, we can't think of anything else but Jesus. The music that we started with today was all about Jesus. He is the one who is to be on the throne of your life, of my life. You sit here today because of Jesus, and so does the person next to you, in front of you, behind you. All because of Jesus. So what do we take away today? What do we take away from this reading today? I pray that we will take away a fresh awareness of who I am, who you are as Jesus' person, that you share this life with God through Jesus. Also pray that you will take away today a desire to do your part in the body of Christ, to be a community that shares this common mindset of Jesus, that it's all about Jesus, it is not about me. And when I focus on Jesus and I love him, then I will be able to love my neighbor as myself. Paul urges this congregation to stay united by remembering whose they are, following the example of Jesus, so that God can do his work in that body. Not the physical body, but the body of Christ. We have sung, this is the third Sunday now, to be like Jesus. This hope possesses me. In every thought and deed, this is my aim, my creed, to be like Jesus. This hope possesses me. His Spirit helping me. Like him I'll be. You cannot be like Jesus without submitting to Jesus, without knowing who Jesus is. And you know, this song, you could sing with your eyes shut, some of you. You could also sing it from a place of, oh, we sang that last week and we sang that the week before. What's this all about? But it's the essence of others. To be like Jesus. This hope possesses me. And I know Scott asked the question last week, does it really possess you? If you are really passionate about something, you go after it. You go after it. Are you passionate about God in you, Jesus? So we're going to sing this chorus, and they're more than words. This is really you saying to God, it's about you, it's about Jesus. And it's about you asking, does this really possess me? Am I really seeking more of God? And where am I seeking that from? Spending time with God, spending time in his word. May that possess us. Lines there, his Spirit helping me, like him I'll be. You don't have to do this yourself. You cannot do anything yourself. It is God's Spirit at work. He is at work in you. And I don't know whether you're resisting his Spirit, whether he is unsettling you in any way. But I believe that the Spirit of God brings freedom, brings peace, brings comfort. In the unsettling, it's a good place that God is leading us. A couple of weeks ago, Elizabeth played for the offering, Make Me Like You. Please make me like you. And I've not been able to get that song out of my head for the last 2 weeks. And when I saw this passage today, yes, the word servant is in there. That's not why I picked it. I picked it because it is the desire of my heart that God will do his work in my life, so that I will be more like Jesus. That I won't resist the Holy Spirit. God wants to do a very deep work in my life. And I believe he wants to do a very deep work in your life. But I know me, and I resist him. I know that. And I don't think I'm an individual in that. So I want to ask you to do something really hard. If that is really the desire of your heart, that God can do whatever he wants to, the rest of this chorus says, Lord, I am willing for you to do whatever you want to. If you're going to say that, then be honest. Say, God, do a work. Do a work in my life, a deep work, because I need to be more like Jesus. So I want to ask you some questions. Will you actually look at the state of your heart? Apart from you, the person who knows it the best, and actually you may not know it the best, is God. Will you look honestly at what is sitting in your heart? Because perhaps it needs to go so that you can be more like Jesus. Who's on the throne of your heart? Who's actually in control of you? Is it you? The state of your heart probably shows or is seen in the words that are coming out of your mouth. Listen to yourself. Listen to what you are saying. When you're around some people, what are you saying? Is there anger? Is there bitterness? Is there resentment in your words? Are you tearing people down? Are you mocking them but pretending not to mock them? Are you saying words that are hurtful and brutal? Where you intentionally want to wound somebody? Listen to your words. I'm saying the same thing to me, Sharon. Listen to your words. Will you repent of the words that you have spoken? The state of your heart is also seen in your thoughts. Not that anyone else sees your thoughts, but the thoughts that rush through your mind. Don't be afraid to say, God, look. Look in my heart, look in my mind, because you know what? He already knows them. It's about you acknowledging what is not of God that you have allowed in your life. Repent of it. Paul urges us to be of one mind. It's all about Jesus. It's always been about Jesus. It always will be about Jesus. Make us a holy people, God. It's hard work to really go deep inside you, and maybe you've not been able to do that right now today. But if we are to be God's people, then God needs to do a deep work in each one of our lives so that we are effective individuals sharing the gospel, that we are a collective of people who here in Brisbane are the body of Christ, part of the body of Christ. And God has a work for us to do. But it first starts inside of you. Allow God to do a deep work in you. Do we have that chorus, Make Me Like You? The words are going to come on the screen if it's helpful for you to sing. If it's actually helpful for you today to say, God, I repent. I repent of all that is not like you, that is in me, that I have allowed to stay there. I didn't realize it crept in, but I haven't actually done anything about removing it. God has a great work for you. He is doing a great work in you. And it's all about Jesus. So maybe today you want to kneel, you want to pray, wherever you are, whatever God's Spirit says to you. But we're about to sing, more than sing, affirm in our head and affirm in our heart that our desire is that we will be made more like Jesus. I pray that you won't resist the Holy Spirit's work in your life. It's a good work to make you more like Jesus. My prayer is that you will be willing, that you will be willing for God to do what he needs to do in you. God has a work for you. He loved you so much, he gave Jesus for you. Let us be willing servants. Father God, we sit before you today, acknowledging that you are Lord. You are our creator. You are our preserver. You are our governor. You sustain us. We don't exist apart from you. Today, God, for myself, I repent of attitudes and words and thoughts that have shown that I have removed you from the throne of my life and put myself there. God, it is the desire of my heart that I will be your servant, that I will seek to be more and more like Jesus. I thank you so much for Jesus. I thank you that in his humanness, I can love him more. I know that he is God, but I see that he made a choice to obey you first and to die such an excruciating death for me. God, I thank you for the work that you do in everybody's life. But I also acknowledge that there are times in my life when I resist your Holy Spirit's work. And perhaps that's true in this space today too. Give us faith, Lord, to believe that you are doing a good work in us. Give us humble hearts, God, that desire you more than anything else. I believe that you want to do a deep work, God, in us, in the body of Christ, in the communities that we live and work in. It's a privilege to share the gospel. So God, help us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that is always at work, always wanting to help us. Thank you for who you are. Amen. Would you stand? I would like to share the benediction with you today as you go out into this week. This isn't the benediction that's written in Scripture, but I want to remind you that it's all about Jesus. It always has been about Jesus. It always will be about Jesus. And Paul says, and this is my desire for myself and for you as you go out into the week that is to come. Be like-minded. Have the same love. Be one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. In humility, value others above yourself. Don't look to your own interests this week, but look to the interests of others. And in your relationships with others, be like Jesus. God bless you.